Let's see what's on the menu for today's Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Catch 35, the perfect menu for your next business lunch. Speaking of business, in a little bit, we'll visit with the people behind a Chicago-based gift-giving company called Bestowal. You know how you get a corporate gift and you go, oh, good, a cheese block and a knife, or whatever it is that corporate gifts are. I don't know what they are. But whatever it is, you can do it more thoughtfully with cooler gifts that better resonate with the people you're sending them to. And that's what that company is all about. We'll talk to them in our last half hour. But we've got a lot of time today with Terry Savage, the nationally syndicated financial columnist. Hi, Terry. Welcome back.
I'm sitting here writing a column, which I usually do on Thursdays or Fridays. And the headline is...
Yeah, let's hear it.
How to prepare for recession. My opening is... You know, it's time to stop debating the definition of recession and start preparing. We've had economic slowdown warnings from the Fed and from economists and a lot of pundits on financial TV. But today, well, it'll read last week, but today's announcement by FedEx that its shipments were falling and that the CEO expects a global financial recession. I mean... Nail in the coffin, pin that burst the bubble. How can you be optimistic now? It's not just the people that are the intellectuals, but it's the feet on the ground kind of thing, or up in the air, I should say, in the case of FedEx. So we have to start thinking about how could that impact us.
What would that mean for me then? Would it mean higher, if I keep my job, would it just mean higher prices for me? Is that what that means
for
the average person?
So here's the, this is it. Let's start with jobs first, okay? Right now, there's a sense that, hey, we really don't have enough workers and they still can't open the restaurant sections because they don't have servers. And you could quit your job or do this thing called slow quitting, which is I just do the bare basic essentials to get by in my job because they really need me. They're, you know, people feel secure.
Yeah.
Here's what's really happening. We've had all kinds of companies now announce layoffs, including the prestigious Goldman Sachs Financial Investment Banking. I mean, they've got their finger on the pulse of the economy saying, hey, we're going to lay off 300 people. I mean, that was like, oh my goodness, in the financial services business, aren't they making money with these high rates? Absolutely not. And we're seeing all of a sudden this, on the one side, we've got people striking, obviously, for wages to keep up with inflation. But the rail strike was settled because I think people are beginning to realize this thing might just be turning significantly to, I'm glad I have a job, because if you have a recession, home builders lay off people. Right now you can't get a carpenter, a plumber, new windows. That's still the tail end of the boom we've had. But if the economy slows significantly, and we're having real warning signs from companies that see it first, that transport the stuff, then we could have a quick turn to you lose your job or you're worried about losing your job. So now that the big firms are saying you have to come in 5 days a week, people are thinking, I'm just not going to tell my boss I'm not coming in. I better go in. I better keep my job. If you're smart, you should do that. So that's the first half, your job.
But
that's not going to kill it.
Talk to me about that. I mean, it's hard to imagine that there would be massive layoffs just because the pendulum is so bent in the other direction, but I take your point.
Let's stop right there. We're on a podcast, right? So
yeah.
Today, on Friday, at 12:15 p.m., John says it's hard to imagine massive layoffs. Let's all remember this, because that's when it happens, when it's hard to imagine.
Okay. Listen, I'm hearing you loud and clear. I imagine most people will still have a job for the next couple of years as we work our way through this. And I'm wondering what happens to them. Does it impact them because interest rates are higher or because groceries are more expensive? What does that mean?
Yeah, well, so there's a lag in this Fed policy of raising rates. And we just saw it earlier this week with the Consumer Price Index. There is a lag in the ability of the economy to process that we're no longer increasing prices. First of all, we're going to be over 8.5% higher than last year on prices. Anyway, a lot of inflation is built in. You sign a new lease and the rent's 15-20% higher. You sign a wage contract or you get a raise. So that process of higher costs pushing through the economy, will continue to be with us. And so it's not like all of a sudden, not only are prices going to stop going up, but they'll go down. You don't look for that. So the combination of job insecurity and high inflation and maybe slowing growth, that's called stagflation. Okay. And we might be talking about that in 4 or 5 months.
All right, I'm going to pause here. But then when we come back, we'll take some calls or texts, 312-981-7200. Terry Savage, the syndicated financial columnist, joins us on Wednesdays, this week on a Friday. I guess the next question when we come back for Terry will be, well, then what should I be doing about this? Terry, if people are worried about the recession you're talking about, now I wonder what they should be doing right now.
I think that's pretty critical because, you know, I'm not a doom and gloomer, and I'm always believing that we will get through this and beyond, but that doesn't mean everybody gets through it in the same shape. And before we say that, I just want to add there's one more thing about this recession. You know, yes, we've had the two negative quarters, the first two quarters of this year. It hasn't seemed so painful. People are still in demand for jobs, and housing has slowed. The price increases have slowed. We aren't seeing housing prices crash yet. And so it doesn't look and feel too painful at this point. But what could accentuate our problems? So, and I think you have to be aware of where this is all coming from, is a global slowdown. And that was what was interesting about the FedEx CEO's warning today. China, you know, everybody expected it to come back out of COVID, but they've basically kept their economy shut down. From everything we read, they're in serious trouble. And so both from a demand and a supply side, China's a drag on the world instead of a growth engine. And then we have Europe, which has inflation higher than ours, forced to raise interest rates to control inflation and keep all their capital from fleeing to the United States, which it has been doing because of our higher interest rates. So they are clearly on the verge of recession, if not in it. And then they have to look forward to what does Russia do with their natural gas supplies this winter. So there's a lot of uncertainty in the world. And we've had a wonderful summer. We had a market rally on hopes that, oh, yeah, sure, the Fed will get this under control. Then we had the inflation report earlier this week. And now we know the Fed will be stronger and tougher, and this could last longer. So if you know all of that, what do you do? What do you do about your job? You want to make yourself the most indispensable person. What do you do about your balance sheet, your credit card debt, while you have your job, in case you're one of those affected because recession means layoffs? You want to make sure you're paying down that credit card debt. Well, how can I do that? My expenses are fixed, and I even had to sign a higher rental agreement. This is the moment, like right now in these next few months, go get a weekend job. While they're still looking for workers, it may not be your profession. I mean, you could be a young professional, but instead of going out to dinner, I mean, this sounds old-fashioned, but wait till you see how painful a recession can be. You get a job now as a waiter, a waitstaff, anything, because there'll be a time when lots of people are willing to do anything just to feed their families. So you get your financial balance sheet in order, you get your employment situation in order, and you try and start saving a little extra cushion just in case it hits you or someone in your family.
Terry Savage, 312-981-7200. Let's pick up a phone line. This is Andy. How can we help you today, Andy? You're on the air.
Yeah, Terry and John, thanks for taking my call. Terry, I was just thinking as a retiree on a fixed income with a private pension that doesn't have any COLA, it doesn't seem like the press has made enough or there's been enough discussion about the impact of inflation on pensions for people that don't have COLAs. And I wondered if you could just make a few comments about that.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I think I've talked about that for a long time. Inflation hits the poor who have fixed incomes, and it hits seniors, particularly those who don't have a cost of living increase, and many union pensions don't. Social Security, for months and months and months, we've been talking about delaying taking Social Security because every year after full retirement age, you get an additional 8% in your check. And then the COLA is applied on top of that. And this year's Social Security COLA looks like it might be as much as 8.7% in January. It won't fix things because your Medicare will go up and your rent and utilities will go up, but at least it's a help. Inflation is devastating. Do anybody remember the rule of 72? Divide any number into 72, and it will tell you how long, how many years it will take that original number to double. So, or the spending power in the case of inflation to be cut in half. So if we have 7% inflation divided into 72, in 10 years, the buying power of that fixed check will be cut in half. In half. Mm-hmm. And people who only have a fixed income, right now, you sound, Andy, young and strong, even though you've got a pension. If there's any extra work you can pick up, I'm curious if it's driving a neighbor, a senior, to do groceries, Uber. Right now, where there's demand for those kinds of things, this would be the time to try and build up your income and some savings.
Terry Savage, terrysavage.com, the website for the syndicated financial columnist who joins us on Wednesdays, this week on a Friday. Anything you want to say before we go to calls, Terry?
No, I'm sitting here working on my column, and I'm trying not to be too gloomy. A recession is inevitable, I think. That's my opinion. And all the things that I might suggest you do, hey, if I'm wrong and we sail through this, they'll just put you on a firmer financial footing. If I'm right, maybe you will be able to get through it with less pain. We've lost our fear of recession because I think in 2020, when the economy shut down, I mean, there was no doubt it was shutting down. Well, immediately we doubled unemployment benefits. We handed out stimulus checks, PPP loans, et cetera. And so we thought, oh, well, hey, no recession. Government fixed it. It can't do that this time around. The Fed won't accommodate.
This texter said, this gloom and doom I'm hearing is not what anyone I know is anticipating. We have plenty of work on the books for years, as do the companies we deal with. Also, we'll be continually hiring into the future, along with training programs. 708 doesn't say what the businesses they're in, but at least there
Absolutely.
Are businesses saying that.
Oh, there are. I talked to a friend of mine who's in the builder, he says, Terry, you know, what's with this FedEx thing? It just pinged on my Apple Watch. We're busy. We're booked up for years. And guess what? I really hope I'm wrong about the doom and gloom, but I've lived through some recessions now. And I know that nobody blows a horn and says, top of the economy. And we're just seeing signs, not only from the policymakers and the Fed, but from the businesses that are on the cutting edge, that things are crumbling and you don't always see them right away. So I hope that this person, I wish you could take a picture of that text.
I'll send it to you.
Yeah, okay, and I want to hang on to it. In fact, I'll even use it in this column because that's the whole point. Only in hindsight do you see what you would have or should have or could have done. We've been lulled into a really terrific decade of economic growth and stock market.
As all of that is true, then let's take Bob on line one. Bob wants to know a little bit more about what we should be doing. Bob, what was your question? You're on the air.
Hi, John and Terry. Love you. Love the show.
Thank you, sir.
Appreciate your advice. Yes, I am what I consider an average investor. I have a mix of stocks and bonds and cash, and I've held that mix pretty well, even back through 2007, 8, 9, and all the ups and downs. But I have to admit, there seems to be something different and scary about this one. So what does the average investor with an average mix of mutual funds do?
Please. You know what's different, Bob? You're 10 years older. You've got
Don't
10 more years
me.
Of... Well, you've got 10 more years of hard work and 10 more years of hard-earned money that probably went into your 401k or whatever your investments were. And so we've had 10 years of a bull market. So now it's a bigger number and you're older and you have less. I mean, even if you were 30 then and are 40 now, you have this appreciation of what it took to get here. And now it's a significant number on your horizon. Why, my 401k is really up to $100,000, and I don't want to lose it. And bear markets do that. I'm not calling a bear market. You know, the NASDAQ is down about 28% for the year already. And S&P, I think, is now down about 16 or 17%. So I believe in investing for the long run. I haven't adjusted because I've been at the stage for a while now where I think I'm pretty balanced. But it's your emotions. So the trick is to reevaluate what you have and then think about what if it really goes down from here? What will be the pain point? And then maybe sell down a little bit, keep a little bit more in cash. If I'm wrong and the market rebounds and we have inflation, and over the long run, the stock market does beat inflation over every 20-year period. But you don't want to be caught in a moment where you go,
right.
I can't take it.
Well, you're making it sound like the pain of inflation won't be as bad as being on the wrong side of a market that goes down for a long time.
You know, here's something else we've never seen. A 10-year, not forget a bear market, a flat market. We had that, by the way, in the 1970s. Dow started the decade, around 800, and in 1982 was still at 800. We forget that. We live in a much faster-paced world. I don't think that'll happen. But what I'm saying is our most recent experiences of what we judge by, every dip was a buying opportunity. We fixed all problems because the government could print money. And I'm just saying, what if it's different this time?
Yeah.
How prepared would you like to be? I believe in America. We'll believe we'll come out through the other end. But you just don't want to be in panic in the middle.
Bob, good luck to you. Thanks for your call. I appreciate your listening. And I'm going to go to Laura. You're on WGN. Hi, Laura. Or at least I'm going to try.
Two things. First of all, I misheard something that Terry said, and it's really pretty funny. What she said was financial footing, and what I heard her say was financial pudding. And I was thinking, uh-oh, I hope my footing doesn't turn into pudding. But that's not why I call
it. Very good. Thank you. I thought I heard myself say that.
That's the worst kind of
pudding,
yes.
Yeah. Anyways, Terry, you've been talking about, maybe as recently as a week ago, about Social Security payments being adjusted for inflation, and you were kind of discussing it. I wonder what you think at this moment about Social Security payments being adjusted, and how much might they be?
Well, okay. There's a council on older Americans that comes out, looks at the numbers, and then we have one more month of CPI to include in the final number before they will announce the COLA that will be paid in January 2023. But right now, it looks like 8.7%, which is a lot better than our first caller, Andy, I think it was, who had one, you know, a fixed check. It's a pension, and that's what you got. When you first got it, it looked great, and 10 years, the buying power would be cut in half at this rate of inflation. So it looks like it'll be 8.7%, but, you know, wait, there's more. As they say in the commercials, they'll probably adjust your Medicare premiums upward, and, you know, your utility bill will go up. So it won't get you even. It'll just catch you up somewhat.
It's good to know they're at least attending to that. Thank you for the call. Give me 30 seconds on this. Hey, Terry, I'm 58 years old. My husband and I, 58 years old, have lost 25% of our 401k value. What do we do? Will we ever be able to retire? What's your short answer?
Yes, you will be able to retire. Keep contributing. Don't chicken out of contributing, even when the market's making headlines that it's crashing. You have another 10 years till retirement. Keep putting the money in. And be sure you have some savings on the side so you don't lose sleep, and then don't look at it. You don't even have to start taking money out for 15 years. So relax.
TerrySavage.com, that's the website to go to, and we call her on Wednesdays, Friday this week. Thank you so much today, Terry.
I'll see you on Wednesday, John. Thank you.
12:45. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch. We've got more business news with Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. A company that provides COVID-19 tests has started putting vending machines with those tests on college campuses across the country. Shield T3 is based in the South Loop. Chicago Inno reports the company has sold 40 of the vending machines so far to schools. Each machine is stocked with 300 saliva PCR COVID tests. Those tests were developed by researchers at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign back in 2020. Shield T3 says the vending machines offer universities a more affordable and convenient way of doing widespread testing on campus. The company has plans to expand beyond college campuses. Robotic personal delivery vehicles could soon be delivering more restaurant meals and groceries on and near the University of Illinois campus in Chicago. City Council Committee has given the green light for expansion of the robotic delivery pilot program. The vehicles have been described as beverage coolers on wheels. Starship Technologies was initially authorized to conduct a two-year pilot in an area bounded by Halsted Street, Ogden Avenue, Roosevelt Road, and the Eisenhower Expressway. People use an app to order food and enter their precise location. When the robot arrives, you pop the lid open and take your order out of the vehicle. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Now the business of food and Steve Alexander.
It's a Mr. Fizz Friday, and we are sponsored by the Chevy Silverado HD. Experience life in HD. Visit ChevyDriveChicago.com. Happy National Guacamole Day, Jim Fizzell.
Well, thank you. That's a wonderful day.
I suppose this is a dumb question, but can we grow avocados in Chicago?
Well, we can. It takes a lot of work to do it, but you can do it if you're really insistent on doing that. The first thing you need to do is get an avocado pit. You take a couple of toothpicks and put them in the sides of it and put it in a glass of water so that the bottom is in the water and the top is sticking up. That's part that has the point. Eventually, it'll make roots in the shoot. Pot it up in good potting soil in a very good sized pot, maybe a 6-inch pot. Keep it indoors until the spring, and then you take it out and put it out in a semi-sunny place. And in the fall, before it gets too frosty, you bring it back indoors, put it in a larger pot. After 3 or 4 years of doing this, you're going to have a tree about 5 feet tall, and you'll get an avocado.
3 or 4 years?
Yeah. I think I'll go to Las Fuentes tonight and get some guacamole instead of going through the...
Okay. Well, I know that's not what you wanted to talk about. What's on your mind today?
Well, I do need to talk a little bit about records. I keep a journal, and I've done that for many years. All you need is a little spiral notebook, and every time something happens, you record it in your journal. If you keep track of things like, where did the seed come from that you used? When did you plant those tomato plants outdoors? When did you buy that maple tree and put it out in the yard? How much did you water it? Record unusual things like weather events throughout the season. If we had the 7-inch rain, which we just had last week, you need to record that, because if you have a failure, it might be a good idea to be able to look back at that. Also record the good things that happen in your garden, plus the things that don't happen so well. Record the failures, like the eggplant that grew so well but nobody wanted to eat it, or the squash that took over the whole garden, or the marigolds that always fell over. Just put things in there that you want to remember for the future. After many years, you're going to have an accumulated tremendous amount of expertise, and you might even end up as a neighborhood gardening expert. You never know.
Mr. Fizz, Jim Fizzell. Today's also National Cinnamon Raisin Bread Day, and tomorrow, have yourself a Monte Cristo sandwich. That's the business of food on 720 WGN.
There is a Chicago-based company called Bestowall Corporate Gift Giving. The founder is Chloe Ramond, and she joins us now on WGN. Hi, Chloe. How are you?
Good. Hi, John. Thanks for having me.
What's the business you do? Do you actually pick the gifts out, or do I pick them out?
We pick them. So we typically have a set of pre-curated gifts that our clients can pick from. And then we do a lot of custom gifting. So we'll sit down with the client. We'll kind of get a better feel for who their audience is, what they're trying to achieve with the gift, and then what their budget is. And then we're really big on crafting a story with the gift so that it has some more meaning behind it.
So give me an example of a client and a gift.
We just did one for a client that really wanted to focus on other women-owned brands. So we have a lot of great relationships with other women-owned brands, especially since I'm a women-owned brand, and we sourced all from women-owned brands and then included a really nice piece in there that kind of gave the backstory about every item that we used.
Hmm. My accountant sends me a nice box of chocolates every Christmas. So if he was, and by the way, Warren, thank you. We love them. But if he were going to change his game, what would you say to him?
My philosophy on gifting is pretty simple. You should give a gift that you would personally want to receive. We want to send something that's meaningful, tells a story, and kind of cuts through the clutter. Because, yes, a lot of people are receiving the candy towers and cellophane fruit baskets, and it's a very nice gesture. However, you don't really have as much meaning behind it. So we like to send things that somebody's going to actually see on a daily basis or use throughout their day. And then it kind of helps them make that subconscious connection as to who sent it to them.
So is it a catalog of vendors you use? You're not making these things, are you?
No, we definitely don't make them. We've just started building relationships. We've been in business for 4 years, and so we have sourced products from across the U.S. and it's really relationship based. And then, you know, we're always searching for new and exciting products to work with.
Well, I know it should be individual, but what is a sort of hot gift? What's a clever gift? What's a fun gift? What do people like these days?
It really depends on the client. I mean, if you're working with somebody that's in the construction business, sometimes they're a little bit more lenient on what the gift items are, whereas if you're working with a law firm, it might be a little bit more buttoned up. So it really depends on the client.
Yeah, I suppose so. So you would interview me, say I've got a bunch of customers or employees, and you'd say, okay, let's get to know John. What's your budget? And then tell me a little bit about yourself, and then you'd come up with ideas for me, huh?
Right. We put together some concepts based on that, and then we would kind of go back and forth until we finalize something. And then we handle all sourcing, production, fulfillment, and then sending.
That's nice.
So really, the goal is to make it really easy for the client. I mean, no one wants to be stuck in their office trying to put gift bags together or boxes at the holidays. We are equipped to handle all of that.
So the time to start planning that is probably now. The website is
right about now.
Bestowal Gifts, B-E-S-T-O-W, as in bestow, bestow, A-L, bestowalgifts.com. Do I got that right, Chloe?
Yes, you do.
Click on there. This is a clever company. Good luck to you. And let's maybe check in again in a couple of months.
All right. Thanks, John. I appreciate it.